because
I'm sorry, this sounds like a joke.
It does sound like a joke, and it is a joke, but it's real. It actually happened. I used to call it Kalawaita.
Yes, I know.
I don't know why. Hello, you know, because that's how it sounded. Yeah, that's how it sounded.
How does it sound to you?
I used to say Kalawaita.
See?
What?
Yeah. How did it sound to you always?
Kalawaita.
How do you not see? That sounds exactly the same.
Kalawaita.
No, but like when you say it fast and you're like, you hear it like from a mom or something, they just, the way they say it, I don't know. It just sounds like they're saying Kalawaita. Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection podcast.
Only like a very small part of the audience will understand what we're talking
probably.
About.
Probably.
This is technically the last episode we'll have during Ramadan, which is kind of weird to say. It's because I guess we missed one episode.
Week.
Yeah, like not the first week. Was it? We technically had a podcast in the first week, but we weren't fasting yet.
Yes.
Or were we?
No, I was fasting. You weren't. Because we recorded it like a couple days before Ramadan started.
Did we?
Yeah. We filmed it the week before, and then it came out on the Thursday. Ramadan was on Saturday.
But like...
And then that weekend, we didn't film.
Okay. Because
you were gone.
So we didn't... Yeah. So, you know, it's been a very good Ramadan series. Two or three episodes.
You know what, though?
Yeah.
A for effort. After last week's episode, I don't know, maybe like because we have our phones with us, like my algorithm just started to pull a bunch of people that were like, oh, this Ramadan came with like a side of melatonin, like just being tired all the time.
Oh.
And there have been people that kind of expressed the same sentiments that we did about feeling like they haven't done enough and maybe they like lacked a little bit of motivation. Like, and I was like, okay, so it's not just like a me and Amir thing. Like a lot of people feel the same way.
Do you think it's the weather? Like I know talking about the weather is like such a like cliche thing, but I feel like a lot of it also had to do with the weather. Like I wonder how like the people on the other side of the hemisphere where like it's now summer in Ramadan, like how they're doing. Like maybe they're like going through like a renaissance like we did.
Well, yeah, I mean... If you think about it, when we were younger, like maybe, and I'm gonna speak for myself. I don't want to, you know, put everyone down. I wasn't as spiritual when I was younger because I didn't understand. So all I was thinking about was how quickly I could break my fast.
What? What do you mean? Oh,
like when I was a kid, like, and I was fasting.
Wait, what do you consider a kid now? Because to us, we're older. You know, a kid could be your early 20s.
No, I mean like when Ramadan, back when it was still in the wintertime.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so like all I was thinking about was, okay, we're only fasting for 11 hours, 11 and a half hours, whatever.
Yeah.
But then when, by the time we were in like high school, that's when it was like in the summertime and we were fasting for like, what, 17, 18 hours or so? And the fun part about, like, we made do with what we had, essentially, right? Like, even though you're breaking your fast at like 9:30 p.m., there was like this sense of like fun where you could remember we would go out for suhoor.
Yeah. We were literally talking about this on our walk today. By the way, we have an audience member today. We were literally talking about this and like how over the years, I feel like the culture online at least has developed around like a community that has typically had Ramadan during the summer, at least in the West or like in America, North America. Right. Because, like you mentioned, because the time was so short, people would just stay up the whole night.
Yes.
Right? And, like, you'd be more... Yeah, you wouldn't really feel like you're, I don't know, struggling for like, looking for sleep or... I don't know, because you could sleep at, like, 3 a.m. and then just, like, continue sleeping throughout the night because you, like, pray Fajr and you just go to sleep. Right?
Yeah,
but now, like, you have to wake up... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going
to
say, and you're also, like... Because you're staying up all night, you can do all of the ibadah that you want.
Exactly, right? But now, like, you're like, oh, now I have to go to sleep now and, like, wake up in another 3 hours or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth staying up till 6 or 7 a.m. or
that's
6 a.m.
That's literally an all-nighter.
Yeah, literally. And then, like, if you have work the next day. Mm-hmm. Like, before, I used to be able to even stay up to, like, 2, 3 a.m. and still go to work the next day.
Yeah, I remember you used to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but now, like, I don't know, like, it's just, I feel like that's also playing a part into why there's this, like, mind block that we're having during Ramadan this year.
Maybe. And it's also, like, I feel like
spirit block.
Ramadan. Ramadan has also changed since COVID. Yeah. If you think about it, remember the first year during COVID, like in 2020, when we had Ramadan, like we were doing like community, like Zoom things.
Oh yeah.
And it was just such a different vibe. Like you had so much more, like that was the rise of these Ramadan series from all the different like teachers and stuff online.
Yeah.
Because they had to find ways to like teach the masses.
Yeah. And while get the social information out there. Yeah.
Yeah. So like now I feel like it's like this like weird, like I'm watching stuff online, but like wanting to be in person too. And then there's just not enough time, but there is time. And it's just such a weird, like,
it's and I'm telling you, this vibe, man. And it's, and we, I know we talked about this last week, but I feel like now I've kind of distilled, not distilled, I figured out, like, you know, maybe it's due to the fact that like the weather is also colder and like, you know, I don't know, but how does it change in places where it's warmer? Like in Texas, I feel like there's a huge Muslim community in Texas. She can tell, she's been here the whole time, how the, if the mindset has changed, or if they're going through the same thing in those hotter climates where they don't really have to worry about that. Because I feel like a lot of the TikToks and like a lot of the stuff online that you see are from the South now, because there's such a huge like growing Muslim population out there.
Like, which this whole is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like Muslims in the South.
I know, right? It just started growing. Yeah. You know, build it and they will come. They're like, how many? They have like, what's their name out there? Oh my God, I'm forgetting. You literally just said his name.
Omar Suleiman.
Omar Suleiman out there on like one side of Texas, and they have like, who is it, like Yasser Qadi or something on the other side of Texas.
Oh, he's in Texas?
Yeah, there are multiple, like a lot of these big like online sheikhs that you see. I don't know if that's the right word to say.
Yeah.
But like a lot of them are in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah. And some of them are even part of the same
community.
I think like Yasser Qadi, and there's that other one. He's like I don't know if he's a convert.
You're talking about Abdurrahman Murphy?
Is it Abdurrahman? He's like white?
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw him. Remember that one time?
At the Islamic Relief thing.
Yeah.
He's in Texas as well. Part of the same community.
He's not part of the same community as Omar Suleiman? I thought he was.
No, like he's part of the EPIC community.
EPIC? That's what they're called?
Yeah, that's what it's called. You never heard of EPIC? Honestly. I haven't even gotten to see it yet. Like in my mind, when I think of EPIC now, I'm thinking of like what literally the name. I think of like this huge complex of like a huge like mosque in the middle with like buildings on the side. They have like stores and like, I don't know, community housing and all this stuff. But that's what they're planning on doing. But like that's what I picture in my mind has already there. Got she keeps it. Downplaying it and say it's not really that much.
It's called EPIC.
Yeah, literally because it's called EPIC.
Is it an abbreviation for something?
Yeah, East
Plano East Plano Islamic Center.
Yeah.
Hey, it works out. But yeah, so that's what I think about. But yeah, there's a huge community growing out there. Because isn't like the whole Yemeni coffee trend thing coming out of there too?
I actually saw the original, like where the audio came from. It's just this random guy.
Yeah,
it's
not you never knew that?
No, I thought it was a real khutbah. And I was like, yo, they're getting called out. Like,
no, but that yeah, that's a real thing. That's been happening in Texas where it's been growing. And yeah, I need to know what their thoughts are. So if you're from Texas, let us know if you're going through these same like funk that us here in the North are going through. Because yeah, I think we just have to, now this is the first time that we're really in like a colder climate during Ramadan for a long time.
Yeah.
So we just have to get acclimated to it and get used to it and get and build another culture around it.
I'm just thinking about like, you know, the Eid fits are now soon going to be covered up with your winter jacket.
Yeah, that's going to be a real thing. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's going to be a whole culture now has to be like created around having Ramadan in the colder climates. So we have to learn from those like in the further north where they always have to deal with the cold. Yeah.
Like, how'd you guys deal with the Australians? I know y'all are listening. Mm-hmm. How did you guys deal with Ramadan being in the winter for the last?
A bunch of puffer jackets.
No, literally. Yeah. Actually, you're right. All of their Eid photos.
I remember that. From back in the day, it was always puffer jackets and like the kameez just being pushed in or the thobe. There's one thing actually I forgot to, before we get into the other topics. There's one thing I forgot to mention, and it was about the specific airline called Southwest. And I never knew this when I was trying to figure this out. I was so confused about how the seating works because they don't have like assigned seating. They have like assigned groups. I know, right?
I think I've heard about this, but I just didn't know how it worked.
Okay. I didn't know how to work until I actually started doing it. Even when I was waiting in line for it, I was still trying to figure out how this works. But essentially how it works is like, I'm getting to why I'm mentioning these videos, but essentially like you get a group number like you normally do. You know how you get like zone 1, 2, 3, yeah. whatever, but you also get like a seat number, but not, it's not really a seat number. It would be like C18, right? Okay. And then next to their entrance to the actual plane, or not the plane, but you know the place where they check your ticket to get on the plane. What is that place called? The terminal.
Yeah, the gate.
The gate. Mm-hmm. That's what the word is. Next to the gate, there's a bunch of poles that have numbers on them. It'll be like 18 to like 21 or like 16 to 20, something like that. I think it goes by fives. So essentially your number, you're supposed to wait for your group to be called.
Okay.
And then you stand next to the pole with your number on it, or at least in the range of your number. So if you have like a C18, you'll stand in like C, you'll stand in like the pole next to 16 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you like start boarding the plane, it's a free for all.
What?
Right? Okay. So like if you're in an early group, like let's say group A, you get free choice of whatever seat you want on the plane.
Even right? Like first class business?
No. Like of whatever group you're in. Like you're oh. in, if you're in economy or whatever, like the general people, you just get to choose whichever seat you want.
From front to back.
From front to back. So most likely you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to choose like a window seat near the front or an aisle seat near the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then B group does the same thing. And then C group does the same thing, which essentially means that like if you're going as a family or as a group or as a couple in this case, if you're in the C group, like there's a high chance that you might not be sitting together on this plane, or you're going to be having an awkward conversation with someone. Because once you get onto the plane in the scene group, basically all of the window seats and the aisle seats are taken. So it's only middle seats left.
That's so annoying.
I hated this concept. Because it just gave me anxiety.
Are all the tickets the same price? Like, do you pay more to be in the...
I think you can. Can't you pay for priority or no?
You can pay for priority.
Yeah, you can pay for priority. I think at one point we got group B. And I don't think we paid anything extra.
Oh, so it's randomized.
Yeah, it's kind of randomized. Or maybe it depends on like how early you got your ticket.
The earlier you yeah. get it.
Like, okay. And I was like, why would anyone want to go on an airline like this?
Are the tickets significantly cheaper?
The one big thing, like the main thing, their thing for Southwest Airlines mm-hmm. is that you get to check two bags for free. Like you can take two full-size bags for free onto the
per
plane.
Per ticket?
Per ticket.
That's crazy.
Right?
Where are you flying that you need two checked bags, though?
Well, you know, there's certain
reasons. Oh, does it? No, but like, does it fly international?
It does.
Yeah.
But it's just anyway, mostly domestic.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's mostly domestic, but they do have some international. But essentially, like, yeah, anyone, let's say you're...
Like you're getting married in Dallas?
Yeah. So let's say you're going to get married in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be there for a long period of time and need to bring a lot of stuff with you. You know, you might want to check two bags, right?
Okay.
The point I'm trying to make here is that their thing, because other than that,
yeah.
their seats are horrible. Literally, I was in the middle seat because we were in a later group, so we couldn't get any aisle seats or whatever.
Damn.
And my shoulders were literally like touching the two people next to me. It was like hitting her, but also the guy next to me.
There were no, like no window or aisle seats?
No, none available. Because when you're in the last group, everyone's going to want to go for an aisle seat or a window seat, right? No one's really going to go for a middle seat unless you're with a couple or something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what they'll do is like if you're in a couple and you're in an early group, they'll usually take an aisle seat and a window seat in the middle. Exactly. Which is why I hated it, because there's that awkward conversation you have to have where you're like, oh, are you guys together? It's like, can you move, or like can we take these two seats, because you know we're together. And I don't want to have that conversation with someone. That's why I prefer to have assigned seating. Thankfully for the first flight, I believe like someone saw that we were a couple,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, two black people right in front of each other. Must be a couple. So they gave us like their seat, like, yeah, I can move with my buddies over there, whatever.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, so that worked out. And then the other time, I think we just happened to get early enough to where early up in the group where we were able to sit next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, think of like Flair Airlines for Canada, or like what's a really cheap airline in America?
What's the famous one?
Oh yeah,
what is that one called again?
Not Ryanair. Ryanair from you're from what? Europe.
Spirit. That's what it is.
Other than that, it's basically like Spirit. So their one thing was just that you can check in two bags, Mm-hmm. And other than that, like quality wise, no TVs, Spirit Airlines. And of course, like literally a day after or maybe 2 days after we got back from our trip, mm-hmm. we find out that they got rid of that whole deal.
I think Frontier now offers it.
They've something like offered that. Free bags?
Like one free checked bag, but the price of the tickets is a lot more.
It's not actually like... But like the thing about Southwest is that it was cheap tickets and you got two free bags. But now they got rid of that. So literally there's no reason. They're just another Spirit Airlines. I'm like, why would you shoot yourself in the foot like that as a company?
Southwest is considered a budget airline?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's cheap flights. That's why we actually went to Buffalo. Because we went to Buffalo.
They don't fly here, right?
They don't fly here, yeah.
Yeah.
So we just drove to Buffalo because we're close enough. And we just went on there and took a plane from there. But I was like, what company would shoot themselves in the foot in this manner just so they can like make a few extra bucks? Because the other things are like, oh, we're going to start charging for this and that. So essentially they're just becoming the next Spirit Airlines or the next Flair Airlines where they charge for every little thing that they can.
Yeah.
And then this also goes into this whole conversation around like private equity that's been going around. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I have not.
But essentially it's like these large conglomerate companies. Like, you've heard of like BlackRock? Have you heard of BlackRock before?
I have.
Like them, like they're purchasing like companies, but also housing and just everything. Basically, they have so much equity. They're like, they have trillions of dollars of equity and they have control over almost complete cities or like,
it's crazy,
like full states at some point in some cases, right? Mm-hmm. But because of that, like, you'll have successful businesses that are owned by these private equity companies that are being shut down just because they're either not profitable enough or they feel like they can use their resources for something else. And also when it comes to housing, they can buy up like a full neighborhood and like jack up the prices. But because the people over there have no other choices in housing, they kind of have to purchase from these companies. Or what they'll do also is that they'll purchase all these houses, and instead of them going to like individuals for, you know, making homes out of it and like really building community, mm-hmm. they'll just rent it all out at like crazy prices.
Yeah, so, but who's really gonna fall for that?
Oh no, like this is a big thing. They're saying this could actually lead to like the next recession in America because of private equity. So, but I need to, there's a whole conversation around that, but that was just something I wanted to mention there that I forgot to mention on the previous episode about our trip. And how I thought that was like the dumbest move they can make because this like as a business, you feel like, you know, you'd want to make your company more attractive to customers. And you know that this is the reason that people go to you for, like, literally the only reason people go to you. Why get rid of that? But, you know, it was interesting. We'll see how they fare.
How they
recover from this. I don't think they're going to recover from this, but yeah, it was just a funny thing that happened literally 2 days after we came back.
Well, we know who's not going to be flying with Southwest Airlines anymore.
Yeah. Well, they don't come to Canada anyways, but that was like a one-time thing for us because literally that trip alone. It was just
too good of a deal to pass up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That trip alone took like, I think 14 hours. It was like, it was a full day.
What?
Yeah. Just to get to Dallas, which is a 4-hour flight, something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
My.
But we saved a bit of money, you know?
Yeah.
We got a buddy pass. So it's like
was it worth? Yeah, I guess. If you're just trying to take advantage of that, then whatever. It is what it is.
First and only time. Thank you, hopefully.
Oh, literally.
But yeah, so let's get into the episode.
Sorry, I'm just admiring the fact that I was able to write straight. That's kind of, I'm impressed.
You're a righty. I feel like righties have that ability. If it was lefty, this whole thing would be, you wouldn't be able to read it. It wouldn't be legible. It would be smeared all over because of my how I write with everything. So like the next thing is kind of related to just traveling in general. Mm-hmm. And this is actually something we were kind of scared of when crossing the border, going into Buffalo and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you've been hearing a lot of things about like, you know, there's a turmoil between or like the tension between Canada and America. And they're talking about taking our sovereignty and like taking over the country. And a lot of times a lot of people thought that was like a joke at first or like it wasn't serious. But now there's stories coming out where like the premier of Alberta is like turning on Canada and is like purposely trying to prop up like Pierre Poilievre, who's the conservative leader, so that they can create policies or at least run the government to where...
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It would be more beneficial to America. Yeah, essentially she's like selling out the country. Like, I don't know how back in the day, I feel like in the 1800s, a lot of things that we're seeing now, people would just be like hung for being traitors to the country.
Treason.
Literally a lot of the things that you're hearing, all these stories, they should be just called out for what they are. And a lot of them are treason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have like a huge stake in this. Well, we do. But like at the end of the day, we always talk our own ish about the things going on here and how we'd love go back to a Muslim country or whatever.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, we like to rep a little bit of our Canadian
status,
like that pride.
Patriotism.
Yeah. Right. You know, for all his faults. But the things that these premiers, like this, when you say premier, that's a person who literally runs Alberta. Like,
that's actually
the
insane.
Whole province is turning on Canada. And like all these like large Canadian influencers like Jordan Peterson, who's like gone to the right, whatever, is like really kind of supporting this idea of Canada being annexed. But yeah, because of all of that, we've been hearing stories of actual like things that we never thought would actually happen, like actual Canadians being arrested and like being put into these like ICE detention centers, because like I think one specific story was there was a girl, she was in Canada and then she had to like go back to like renew her visa, but then when she went back to Canada or went back to America, and when she landed, she's like, yeah, I'm just here because I need to go and renew my visa here. And like, oh, that means you don't have a visa here, so we're just gonna arrest you now.
And was she Canadian?
Yeah, she's a Canadian citizen.
Oh.
And they arrested her and put her in like a detention camp. She was in there for like a good month.
What?
Yeah, and she said she was transferred like multiple times into different states. And she was like meeting and speaking to other people with very similar stories. There was like actually other people as well. There's like a German man who he went to Germany to like visit family. He was in America originally with a green card.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think there was like some mess up with his green card. So when he came back, they completely like stripped him down.
Oh my
They're
God.
Like questioning him. And eventually they like detained him. And there's other people who are being put into like solitary confinement. These are like and the reason it's kind of sad, but the reason that these stories have been coming out is mainly because a majority of these people who they're coming out with stories of are white. Right. And usually when it starts to affect white people, you're like, okay, now like, we know
they're not even safe.
Yeah, exactly. Now we know there's something really going on here, and something's really messed up, right?
Mm.
And it came to the point when all these stories started coming out where the European governments started coming out, or the different European countries started coming out saying, hey, we kind of highly suggest you guys don't travel to America.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Canadian government. The Canadian government themselves came out and said, like, we suggest, you know, only travel to America for like, not urgent, what do they call that? Necessary things. Like, don't go there just for like vacation. Like, just be careful. Yeah, I know. And then we're going across the border at least like once a month at this point. but that was something that's been coming up recently. And I feel like it's escalated further than a lot of people thought it would.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone thought that it would go this far, specifically from between Canada and America. Because you thought, like, this is hundreds of years, or not hundreds of years, but, like, more than 100 years of working together.
Yeah.
Right? I know we had a war in 1812, which we won, by the way. But after that, things settled down, and we started working together.
Mm-hmm.
And now this guy is taking 150 years of peace and
peace.
Coexistence, not coexistence, but, like, you know,
camaraderie,
and just throwing it down the drain. It doesn't make you like that idea of going to America, you know, living in LA. Does that give you any pause?
I mean, personally, mm-hmm. I already have a trip booked to the States before any of this really yeah. happened. Am I nervous? I mean, should I be? Like, I don't mm-hmm. know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like,
is it crazy that you have to be nervous, or not have to be, but that like now that's the thing where you have, where you're nervous to go across the border?
I mean, I think after 9/11, that feeling has kind of always been there.
Really? But oh, you know what? Yeah, I see what you mean. Like interacting with the people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, like, especially as I traveled more, mm-hmm. and obviously this is coming from a place of privilege, but like our passport really does mm-hmm. open doors for us. Ours is
like more power. I think one of the most powerful passports in the world. I mentioned that last week or no?
You know, when we went to Qatar, mm-hmm. my parents and I, Gizman, all went through, mm-hmm. but they charged Yasin because he's
a
U.S. passport holder.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He had to pay to enter the country.
See, you're more powerful than y'all, okay? You Americans.
But like, you know, I'm just, like, I recognize the privilege of that. I mm-hmm. just think that, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be very, very foolish for the U.S. government to really, like, create this wedge between Canada mm-hmm. and the U.S. because they've worked together for so long, like you said.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like a lot of Americans doesn't realize that everyone in the world, at least at this point, doesn't really have the best opinion of Americans in general.
Yes, and right? Canada was their biggest ally, and now they're trying to piss off.
The rest of the world loves Canadians.
Right. We are the Switzerland of North America.
Yeah, they're literally, like, they're bullying the small countries, so it's not going to look good internationally.
Exactly.
Right? But there's a reason that we're able to get into a lot of places without having to pay for a visa.
I don't know if, like, Canada's going to be that country that sides with all of the other allies to mm-hmm. then, like, take out the States. I don't know.
They might be listening.
I know, right? No. And then we all get detained when we get, inshallah, mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. But you know what I mean?
Do you ever get paused from, like, not paused. Do you ever think about, like, how you're posting an episode every week and we kind of talk a lot of shit about America?
We do. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then like, one day they just pull up our video and be like, is this you?
Yeah.
Like, no? I don't know who that is.
Because if you think about it, even what's going on with Mahmoud Khalil in America, how he was arrested literally for just speaking out for the Palestinian people.
He was arrested for that?
Yeah.
I thought America had freedom of speech.
No, they don't. Not anymore. Oh. I feel like America never really had freedom of speech because, like, it's freedom of speech for the people that they agree with. Right? Because there has been, no? Do you disagree as an American? Just pointing that out.
I mean, it's never, no one has ever been detained, as far as I know, for their speech. It's always been protected.
Okay.
This is like a very...
This is a new, setting a new precedence.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so, okay, you know, maybe we're being too harsh on America, right? When I say freedom of speech, like, technically they always had freedom of speech, but I feel like the way they reacted and the way they kind of, like, treated those who spoke out against the things that they don't agree with, especially in this case with, like, Palestine versus Israel, mm-hmm. It's shown that, like, maybe they can't legally do anything to you, but they will do everything in their power to destroy your life.
Oh, like scare tactics.
Yeah, scare tactics. But now they've taken it to another level. A whole nother. Okay, sorry. Okay, I can't do that. Very serious topic. I'm sorry. Okay.
I don't want you to do that.
I don't know. I just couldn't. It was in my head. I couldn't. But I feel like they've taken it to, like, a whole nother level, to where they've now actually gone through with it and arrested someone for speaking out against something they don't agree with. And that, because that precedence has been set, like, it's like anything, you know, you do it once, it might be hard, or, like, you feel like, you know, maybe there might be some pushback. You do it again, there's a little bit less pushback, but there's still pushback. The more you do it, like, that pushback will not be as hard or as relevant as it is right now.
All of this is coming about because of mm-hmm. Trump.
Yeah.
And his philosophies. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but, like, was he not hated, like, 2 years ago when he was going through getting charged and...
No. He was hated by everyone on the left, or, like, everyone who wasn't a MAGA supporter, but he had a huge, and actually this kind of made a martyr out of him in a way, by him getting charged, because they're like, oh yeah, because he was speaking the truth, you know, they don't want the truth to get out. So like, they actually, a lot of his supporters saw that as like a positive, right? And his mugshot became like something they would wear as a pride, literally. They put on a shirt, right? And he was officially found to be guilty of a lot of those charges. I think it was like 34 charges. He's guilty. He actually was found guilty.
So how is he legally allowed to be?
Because then the Supreme Court came out and said that a sitting president can't be found like liable for pretty much anything he does that's illegal.
What?
Yeah. I don't know how far it goes, but I think that he could literally, like, I think there's one line he mentioned in his early days of campaigning where he's like, I could literally walk into the middle of the street of Manhattan and like shoot someone and nothing would happen to me. And this Supreme case, like the Supreme Court decision, kind of proved that.
That's insane. He could
do whatever he wants and nothing will happen to him. Yeah, because if he didn't win this election, I feel like he literally ran this election because if he didn't win, he would have
had to go
through with those charges. Something would have happened to him. He wouldn't have had that immunity.
So you're saying he potentially bought his votes?
Oh, yeah. Well, like...
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, Elon plays a big part in that. He paid him $250 million to be part of his thing, and then he would play with algorithms to... There's a whole...
But Elon Musk isn't even a politician. They're tied
in. Yeah, but they're tied in together financially, like... very deeply, like his so success corrupt, like Trump's success and Elon's success are like, they're both like
they go hand in hand.
Yeah. And it's like, so if corrupt. Trump fails, then Elon will fail as well. Like right now, Elon's company going down and is going down in the stock market, his like cachet and like the social market as well, whatever, is actually affecting Trump to the level where that's why he had to do that whole like selling Teslas on the front of the White House yard thing. You never saw that?
I stopped paying attention.
Okay, yeah. He literally had a car show where he, Trump himself, had cards. And he was with like the prices of cars, pretty much selling, being a salesman for these cars with like Elon standing right there and be like, oh, this is a really nice car. It's cheap too, guys. And he literally turned into a salesman.
Because I'm sorry. This sounds like a joke.
It does sound like a joke. And it is a joke, but it's real. It actually happened.
I don't know, Americans, like, are you not the least bit concerned that this is the man that's running your country?
Unfortunately, a large population still isn't, and they see a lot of things that he's doing right now as a good thing, not knowing that it's affecting them directly, or will affect them directly, because they're getting rid of like the, you know, the Board of Education. Is it Federal Board of Education or the Department of Education? Sorry, they're getting rid of that now
completely.
Like, they're basically gutting it out. So because they can't actually get rid of the department, only Congress can do that, but they can basically like make it a shell of what it is by just firing everyone who works there.
Why would they do that?
Because, well,
education is so important,
because everything they're doing is to, they say, to cut costs so that they can just cut taxes for the wealthy and give them more money. Yeah, and create more of like a class disparity.
That is honestly...
The only solution to this is class consciousness, guys. Learn about that. Google it. About class consciousness and just figure what that is. Because once you understand what class consciousness... Or once you become conscious about this topic, then you'll realize that like everything that media is doing and all these politicians are doing is... They're basically trying to pit you guys against each other. Like the conservatives and the liberals are trying to pit you guys against each other, make you guys face each other instead of pointing out the real criminals and the real like culprits of the situation you find yourself in currently. Because that's all it is. Like, that's why I don't like debating with these people, because I'm like, you're pointing your anger towards the wrong person. Like the people you're currently supporting are the reason that you're in the position you're in right now.
I really hope we don't become the 51st state. I'm really hoping.
I don't think that will happen, or I highly doubt that's going to happen.
I low-key almost feel like Canada should just put on their big boy pants and sever ties with the United States.
Yeah, well, the main reason they can't do anything is because of, you know, mutually assured destruction.
I know.
Yeah, that's a big part of why a lot of things don't end up escalating as far as they can, right? Because, like, Everyone, basically anyone who has nukes, they're not going to touch each other.
Yeah.
Right? Because though they're most likely not going to actually end up using them.
Yeah.
There has been a precedent set where they have been used in the past. So there's always been that fear that, like, if we go push it too far, that will be the ultimate decision, or that's what will be the final decision.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think they'll go into like a full-fledged war. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make sense for either country.
Yeah.
But whatever this is, like, y'all better kiss and make up.
Yeah, we'll get cheaper flights to Europe, maybe.
maybe. Yeah. Who knows? We'll see. But or the French will try and take over again. I don't know.
Or what? What'd you say?
I read that Canada should join the EU.
Canada joining the EU? Hey. If it means that, actually, no, because I don't think we would be allowed to because of Brexit. If Britain never left the EU.
Oh, because we're a Commonwealth country.
Yeah. And like technically the queen, or now the king, I guess, is head of state. Sovereign, yeah.
Whatever.
That's why we don't have like a president. We have a prime minister.
Yep.
But it's all like, what do they call it? Just for show, or there's a word for it. It's more a formality. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so that was, you know. We just got to be a little bit more wary when crossing the border. That's all we're trying to say, okay?
Wish us luck in the coming months.
Yeah, hopefully you've learned a couple of things, because I just spat out a bunch of just random of my politics and
knowledge. All I'm saying is if we do get detained, just know it's going to be an interesting podcast episode.
Exactly.
I hope we don't get detained. Content. No. Don't even wish that upon us. Mm-hmm. You want to be detained? No.
Hey, to go back to what I was saying earlier, we have a lot of episodes where we were talking shit about the country, so.
I know, but still, it's all a joke. Mm-hmm. It's all alleged.
Mm-hmm. And they actually are looking through that stuff now. Like, now they are, like, confiscating people's phones and, like, going through that.
I saw, like, there's a bunch of, like, TikTok lawyers that are like, oh, you know, have a travel phone, or put in a really complicated password or something.
Check it first or something, and, yeah, do something like that. But, inshallah, that's not the case, okay? Things will settle down and... I don't know. The man's old already. Maybe it's a lot. Oh, shoot. That's not... Actually, I'm not going to keep that in. I'm taking a deeper hole. Okay. Let's get to a more appropriate topic for the month, okay? It's Ramadan. This is going to be our final Ramadan episode for the year. Mm. Or for the Ramadan month. So we're going to continue with what we started last week for the first time. It's only the second time, but you know... It's still good to have these reminders.
Exactly.
But it's the verse of the week. So this is from Surah Hud, ayah 9 to 10. And it says, "And if we give man a taste of mercy from us, and then we withdraw it from him, indeed he is despairing and ungrateful. But if we give him a taste of favor after hardship has touched him, he will surely say, 'Bad times have left me.' Indeed, he is exultant and boastful." So the little kind of like breakdown of this, essentially it's saying like, how often have you heard stories of people that become full of themselves and they achieve success? They believe they're about their own greatness, or they believe in their own greatness. They fall short at understanding that Allah who decreed success for you, that it is Allah who decreed success for you. Understanding that you did the work, but Allah gave the result, removes any arrogance or pride, allows you to remain humble and grateful. Mm. Right? So this is just, you know, a reminder I think that everyone needs about being humble and always remembering where your successes are coming from. Also, when you're being tested, like, to be humble or being patient in those times. No. Yeah, being patient in those times as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, the point that I put there, everything is temporary, actually kind of relates to this too, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you, when your dua gets answered, or you get something that you've wanted, acknowledging that it comes from Allah and being grateful to Him for your blessings and endowments is one part of it. But also remembering that everything is temporary. So while you may be on a winning streak and things are going really great, remember, it's always going to be temporary, which means that what goes up must come down again. Mm-hmm. So that roller coaster?
Shoot. I almost said it wrong too.
The roller coaster of life, like when you go up, you come down. And when you're in a time where you're experiencing hardship, you know, Islam teaches us not to feel disparity, because we're supposed to rely on Allah, right? And believe that He will like basically help us find a way out. Mm-hmm. And so another way to kind of have tawakkul or have faith in God is just remembering like this is also temporary. Mm-hmm. Like the good times are temporary, but the bad times are temporary. So while it's like a daunting thought, it's also a comforting thought.
Yeah.
And it kind of helps to balance your gratefulness, because if you know that, like you're, if you know that you're like the hardship that you're going through is temporary, you know that, as the verse says, with hardship comes ease. Mm-hmm. So as you're experiencing hardship, ease is on its way.
Yeah.
So then you know that you'll be even more grateful for that ease to come, because you know what it's like to be on the hardship side of it, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And also when you're in that ease, it's remembering to be grateful for that time as well, and not taking advantage of it. I think it's similar to what I've mentioned before, where like, you know, you're given all these endowments and everything, but then out of that you become ungrateful and you start and you stop following the things that are obligated for you to do. So this is just a reminder to try and like keep on that path. And I feel like the best examples of those, I don't know why this came to mind, it's sort of related to it, but it's like also back going back to the Palestinian people. I feel like with them, they're kind of like the most clear examples of this verse here, where like, you know, they were given this ceasefire. Mm-hmm. I know that was a different topic as well.
That's okay.
But like they were given this ceasefire, which was almost like a time of ease, even though things were still hard. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, came back the breaking of the ceasefire, and like everything is basically back even worse than how it was before.
And throughout all of this,
they've been the most humble and patient people.
Patient and trusting in God. Like
exactly.
Hearing how like some of them are literally carrying like bodies of their loved ones, and they're still praising God. And so it just shows you their iman and their faith that they have. It's actually a lesson to the rest of us.
Yeah. And I feel like that was something that's even people who are not Muslim had seen. And, you know, even we were mentioning before, like there are people who were seeing this, and that kind of drove them to learn more about Islam.
Yeah.
And come through and actually become Muslim. And there's a huge resurgence or like growth of reverts essentially to Islam in that time. And I think, yeah, that was very inspirational in seeing that and kind of remembering, like, you know, we're currently technically, even we're talking about all, you know, being scared of all these things, it's not really like compared to what's going on over there. This is not really a huge thing. It's not a life or death situation for us. Maybe like in some extreme cases, but for the most part, we're going to be okay. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, each hardship is relative to each person. Too,
that's also
right?
something to keep in mind. Yeah.
Like I know, you know, the famous like meme, there's people dying, Kim.
Like losing your ear.
I get it. You know, sometimes you like we unintentionally sometimes minimize other people's experiences by saying things like that, like there's people dying or like whatever, you know. But just remembering that hardships are relative to each person. People are given hardships that God knows that they can handle. It's an opportunity for them to exercise their patience and their reliance in Allah, and in turn they either their sins are eliminated or their status, as in like their rewards, are increasing significantly. And so like I think we just have to be compassionate all around regardless of what the hardship is. To me, maybe, okay, this is a really silly one, but like, let's say Amir gets a paper clip. A paper cut. Oh my God, Ramadan brain. He gets a paper cut and it's like gushing blood and he's like, ah, this is so painful. But I'm like, suck it up. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm now minimizing his experience, but he could truly be experiencing like agonizing pain.
Hey, paper cuts.
Yeah, they're pretty
Let's just say I'd rather get punched in the face than get a paper cut.
I think you're the only one.
Paper cuts, like, for me, every time I've gotten them, they're literally the worst, because also the skin, like, opens up a little bit.
I mean, I give this excuse because I didn't think it would apply to you, but it does.
What?
You don't like paper cuts?
I hate paper cuts. When you said that, I felt it.
No, I truly, like, I said this because I didn't think it applied to you. Nah. Like, I thought it would be a silly one.
Like, I've gotten things that have happened to me that are worse than paper cuts, mm-hmm. but I still would prefer those over the paper cut.
That's crazy. Yeah. you're alone on that island. I'm think sorry.
So, yeah. But what was the example you were saying again?
I was saying like
relative.
Yeah, like it's relative to mm-hmm. you, right? So like it's not right for me to minimize your experience mm-hmm. rather than like I should just be compassionate towards it. Mm-hmm. Like instead of telling you like, oh, suck it up, it's a paper cut when there's people dying in other countries, yeah. like two things can be true. Mm-hmm. You could be in pain and then there could be people dying in other countries, you know?
Yeah, I think the main point is to make sure you're patient and
yeah, regardless.
Try to be patient in both situations.
Exactly, like regardless of what your mm-hmm. situation is, just kind of maintaining that modesty, humbleness. Like
on the other end is the humbleness. So there's exactly. patience in the times of like strife, mm. and then the humbleness in times that are of ease, right? So mm. that's essentially the synopsis of what I was trying. Not synopsis.
If you think about it,
is it synopsis? No.
No.
That's the
gist of it.
Gist of it.
But I was going to say one yeah. like that reminded me of something. So mm-hmm. when we're talking about having patience and faith mm-hmm. during tough times in our culture, mm-hmm. when someone passes away in Gesinan or in the Harari language, to express your yeah. condolences, they literally say like, may God give you patience and faith. Sabri wa aman. So like, that's so like, it's kind of comforting in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, may God give you patience and like faith that, you know, things will mm-hmm. be okay. And that, you know, make dua for the deceased person. So I think that's like also a reminder.
Yeah, that's a part of our culture there that's ties into this as well. It's kind mm-hmm. of, and whenever someone told me to say it, they say, mm-hmm. just say sabri ashru. So is that another way of saying that as well?
Sabri ashru means like,
like that did just you means have patience? Did you have patience?
But you can say sabri wa aman yastahu.
Okay, I've always said sabri ashru because someone just yeah. told me that one day. I never even knew that.
Yeah, you could say that.
Mm-hmm. You learned something new, guys. Yeah. So yeah, that was a verse of the week.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And I know we kind of touched on it, but going back to the ceasefire that was broken by the I don't even want to say their name anymore, okay? You know which country we're talking about, okay?
Mm. I mean, we're not surprised.
Yeah, we're not surprised.
Disappointed, yes, but
unfortunately, it was all, from what I could see, or from what I heard or could put together, is that it was all done as like a political ploy. Mm. Because essentially, once they got all the hostages back, Bibi Netanyahu was, or what, is that how you say his name?
Benjamin?
Netanyahu, basically.
Yeah.
He was scared that an election was going to be called. Mm. But if there's an election, if the hostages are still held there and he can still say that they're in like a wartime or, you know, emergency time, whatever, and continue the war, keep the war going and stay in power.
Yeah.
So that's essentially what he's literally unaliving all these people. I think the first attack that they did was in the middle of the night, pretty much suhoor time for these people. For the Palestinian people, and with no warning. You know how back in the day they used to say, oh, we're the most moral army, we at least warn the people before we try and shoot them. No warning at all. They literally just start firing on multiple areas in base camps, like people where people are literally set up in tents yeah. next to their houses that are in rubble. They just started attacking with no rhyme or reason, right? And these, I guess, to go back to that line, this is a time where patience is, especially for those who feel like they can't do anything, this is where your patience is really being tested, right?
Yeah.
Because everyone was, you know, they had like
celebrating the fact.
They were celebrating, but it was almost like a kind of uneasy celebration.
Like a reluctant celebration?
Yeah, it's a reluctant celebration. And unfortunately, like the worst of what we thought could have happened has happened now, to where they basically started it all again. And it seems like they're not being held back as much this time because there's now a government in the US that's basically like sanctioning all this. They're telling them, hey, go ahead, this is yours. I think they even said like they asked America for their permission before doing this, and they're like, yeah, go ahead, do it, right? So it's even in a worse situation than it was before, to where I know it was kind of like they're just kind of saying it because they felt like they had to say the previous government. But now this government is just mask off, just being like, yeah, just take them out. They literally, like we mentioned last time, where they came out with like promotion saying yeah. what they're going to be building once they get rid of all the people there, right? But right now is like where, and especially in the middle of Ramadan.
But that, I feel like they do that every year. They've attacked the Muslims every year. Usually it's Masjid al-Aqsa every single year.
Like, I haven't even heard that many stories of what's going on in Masjid al-Aqsa this year, but I'm sure that stuff is happening. It's just that the news is suppressing all of this. Like, once, when the ceasefire was broken, the main news pages or outlets, they've been very quiet. Like, maybe they mention small things here and there, but they'll like downplay even the numbers of people that are being unalived, right? They'll say, I think like they were reporting like 100 people or something like that being unalived from those first attacks. But when you get the real numbers from the people on the ground, it was like 400 plus.
Yeah, and a lot of them are women. Mainly
women and children.
Yeah.
Right? So, unfortunately, we're back in a situation where we have to speak out about this and bring more light to it because no one else is doing it. At least none of the main news outlets are doing it. Even with a small... I feel like all of our audience already knows about this too, right?
Yeah.
But you hope that it gets out to those who are unaware of what's going on, and even just simply changing the mindset or even the culture around how we deal with that country is, I feel like, going to be like a greater good. Unfortunately, what's happening to the people in Gaza is not what we want, but with time passing and with the sentiment around this country changing, I feel like changing people's minds will eventually lead to that country's downfall. And we're already seeing some of the ramifications just due to the younger generation, how they view this country. And right now we just have to have patience.
They were also being protected by the U.S., if we're being honest. So I think the downfall of the U.S. unfortunately is unfortunately is gonna be
I was watching a video of this politician in New York. He was like a black politician. He was talking about how he was starting his campaign, and he was approached by a friend who works with the like 100 Black Men Foundation. I forget the exact name of it, but essentially it's like a foundation that helps like black men across the country. And he's like, hey, let me put you in contact with this guy from, what is it, the ADL? Or like the, what's the...
Not IDEA.
No, sorry for AIPAC. He's like, let me put you in contact with this guy from AIPAC. He's like, AIPAC? What do you mean AIPAC? I don't want to have nothing to do with him. He's like, don't worry, you know, just have a conversation with him, whatever, right? So even when he was running, he's a not a known guy. He was already trying to, AIPAC was already trying to like infiltrate him and like give him money so that essentially they would be do his bidding, do their bidding and be, hit him, be able to control him, right? And eventually he won, thankfully, without their support. But when they got into office, they started putting in like bills to like take funding away from Is Not Real. And they started funding the people who were opposing him. So he, like, the next time he runs for government, essentially, he would be ousted because they have more money. So essentially, if they don't, if you don't accept their money, they're just going to go up the to the other person who's your rival and just give them more money. Right. And it's just crazy how even for like such a small thing, they're already kind of like infiltrating that. And they've infiltrated even black groups. Is that the word? But yeah, they've essentially, they've infiltrated even groups that like help the black community, right? Like people of color.
Yeah.
There are groups that you think that are, would understand the Palestinian plight, but they are also being funded by AIPAC. It's a crazy situation. It goes deeper than you actually really think.
It's all corrupt.
It's
very sad.
So what's
the last 10 days of Ramadan.
Oh yeah. We've been kicking into overdrive for last 10 days. Like, because these last 3 weeks have been kind of all over the place. We were talking about it. We're like, we got to like lock in for these last 10 days. But even then we're like, there's still so much we have to do for these last 10 days. So it feels like you're not even able to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have to do some things where you're waking up at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. You know, if you can, if your alarm works properly, you know, like that.
I think
To just like get your tahajjud in and like, you know, try to make as much dua as you can.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, man, we got to lock in for these last 10 days.
Take advantage of it. I think by the time you guys are listening to this, there will still be a couple more days left before Eid. So even if you feel like you haven't done enough during the month, don't waste your opportunity. Push yourself even a little bit. It's okay to be uncomfortable. and do what you gotta do. Like,
and remember, it doesn't stop after Ramadan, okay?
Exactly.
Of course, like, you know, they say like these are the best times and there's also Laylatul Qadr and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your du'as still get answered for the rest of the year, okay? So don't let that discourage you, you know? Just try your best and just try and create that habit to where you can carry it on through.
Yeah, it's not
to the rest of the year.
It's not just about the du'as too. It's also like the good habits that you formed during the month, right? Because the habits that you cultivate now, inshallah, will carry you through to the next Ramadan. And then that's how you kind of build on being a better Muslim, a better person, is just continuing to build. And it's obviously not going to be linear. We know in a perfect world, yes, but it's not always the case. We all fall off. We all have those moments. But as long as you're trying, I think that's the biggest thing. The last thing that you want to feel is like just giving up. Like, oh, I'm just not going to try anymore because my Ramadan wasn't as productive. Like, that's a dangerous place to be in mentally. So try your best. Even if you haven't done anything in the first 7 days, I think there's 3 days at this point when you're listening to this. You still have 3 days. Make your du'as, pray your prayers.
Oh, actually, it's the thing that they say is like most likely it's gonna be on like the 27th night of Ramadan, which might line up with when we put this out. I'm not sure. No, would it be the day before?
The Wednesday night will be the 27th night.
Okay, yeah. But you know, other than that, like she said, try and take advantage of. And it's not. It doesn't have to be on the 27th night. Okay, it could be any odd night. Most likely, you know, it could be even on an even night. Less likely, but it could be. Okay, so just try
the 29th.
Try your best. Yeah.
Maybe we should put this episode out a day early. I don't know.
You're trying to make me.
You're usually done in time. I don't know.
I guess so, yeah. Anyway,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. We'll see if we're feeling generous. What's something that you're going to take away from
Are you asking Hanan?
Yeah, I mean, I was asking you, but like,
if you're looking at her. You
know, I was reading the board.
Okay. My bad. Right, repeat that again. Okay.
Okay.
So, you're saying what are we taking away from us? What?
With us. Like, what are you taking away? What are you taking away from this?
I'm not going to lie. Like, my stomach near the beginning, for some reason, is like super grumbly.
You're hungry?
I'm hungry because I had like just straight chicken and rice. And usually I'll try and introduce some fat, but today, just because I'm at my parents' house, I didn't have those choices. So I'm really feeling it today. So my brain like feels like it's very foggy. I'm a little slower. But what are we taking away from this, right?
From the month, yeah.
From the month. One thing, actually, that I want to try is maybe praying more tahajjud. That was something that we were trying to do right now. And I wasn't really one to do that back in the day. Or like, you know, getting even the five prayers was like a real challenge for me. Not like trying to get them all in time and not do them too late or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think the next level is maybe trying to get in some tahajjud in there. Because, you know, there was one TikTok I got that was like really telling me. It was like one woman, she's literally just, she was like, prayer tahajjud. I'm telling you, man, it really works. And she's like,
I literally got this yesterday.
No, it wasn't that. It was like some random girl on TikTok who was just saying, do that. And I'm like, maybe this is a sign. Right?
Possibly.
So that's something I might try and take away, or at least try and include in the prayers, and on top of like just making sure get everything in on time.
Yeah.
And yeah, just remembering to do it all the best I can with the best intention, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
How for you?
I think for me... I didn't think this one through. Let me see what pops into my
head. You wrote down the question.
I did write the question. I thought I was going to think of something by now. I think, honestly, I feel like in our day-to-day, especially outside of Ramadan, like, we don't actually give space for, like, just, what's the word? Like, contemplation, you know? Like, we don't, like, personally, I don't, because I think about a million other things before I think about, like, just overall, like, you know, sometimes, like, especially it's usually when I'm driving, but when there are times where I'm just driving in silence, and that's when I'm, like, deep in thought, and I'm just,
I do that, too.
Wow, I'm just so grateful. Like, It's either driving or flights. It's those two.
Oh, I've never done it on a flight, but driving definitely.
Yeah, like where you're just like in deep contemplation and you're just like in awe of how mm-hmm. your life has come to be, like mm-hmm. how it is, you know? And like, I was just thinking about this, like one of the days this week. So I don't know if I told you guys, but I'm training for a 5K run.
Oh, yeah.
But while I was training for that and I was running, mm-hmm. I got into my head and I was just thinking like, wow, you know, like this is like a goal that I've had for like a couple years now mm-hmm. that I just never thought that it was like, you know, one of those goals that you just put in your mind, but yeah. you're never really thinking of accomplishing it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I'm like working towards it just made me feel like alhamdulillah for like the ability to even mm-hmm. be able to run, yeah. to be healthy enough and not have like weak knees or ankles. And mm-hmm. I can actually
have
do
you got
this.
Any like shin splints yet?
One day, yeah, because I wore the wrong running shoes. And oh my God, it was the worst pain.
Yeah, I hate that feeling.
I actually I fell off the treadmill this week, so that was fun, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I should have told you guys that in the beginning of the story.
What?
Yeah, but it was because, and this was like a self-reflection moment, but I had my Apple Watch on.
Yeah.
And I'm doing like interval running.
Yeah.
So I was looking at my watch because I wanted to make the volume loud enough so that I wouldn't have to keep looking. Mm-hmm. But as I'm looking, I wasn't holding on either, right? Like I'm just running. And then I guess I kind of like half stepped on like the...
Yeah, like the
side
of
part.
It. Yeah.
And then I tripped and I was like, whoop, and I flew back and I was like, that's fun.
Did you actually like land...
I landed on my knees.
Oh.
Like one knee fell on, like the one that was on the yeah. flat part landed on... the floor, and then my other leg was like on the conveyor belt part, and I was just like, oh my God,
that's the worst.
Yeah, it was actually
whenever I see those ones where the people land on the treadmill and it like
yeah.
like folds them essentially.
Yep. Ooh. It was pretty painful.
Was it your home one or was it the
it was at home, so it wasn't super yeah. fast, but it still hurt a lot. And like I was trying to like grab because the only thing I can grab onto mm-hmm. was my desk.
Yeah.
But I didn't grab it in time. So like my arm broke my fall. It was just, it was painful. But I got back up and I continued.
Did you film it?
No. Okay. So that you could insert
I
the
love
clip?
Those videos. Yeah.
No, I would not. But, mm-hmm. but like even in that moment, like mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, I'm just really like grateful mm-hmm. that I get to do this, or like this, just like random little things. So I think I want to take that with me to mm-hmm. just practice more. What's the word? Is it mindfulness, contemplation, gratefulness,
all
gratitude,
all
of that,
yeah.
you know, just like practicing that, especially coming off from a very spiritual journey to Umrah. Like, mm-hmm. I think that has also, like, I know everyone says it altered my brain chemistry, but like it really did. It really did in such a beautiful way. I truly, like, before I went, you know, some mm-hmm. of my friends would be like, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. And I was mm-hmm. like, you don't actually ever believe that because yeah. I've never, like, when your life changes, it's never like immediately. It kind of just happens over time mm-hmm. where it's not as noticeable.
Yeah.
But I truly feel like I came back from that trip and
it was like a pre-Umrah and post-Umrah Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still the same person, obviously. Yeah. But I'm just saying like my whole mindset has shifted.
Mm-hmm. And somebody left for that, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you, Sarah. Okay.
Thanks, Amir.
But yeah, we're gonna end off the topics there, but we're gonna move on to the closer here, which is replying to your comments, because yeah. I did put out a couple of questions for y'all in the previous episodes, so I think it's important to know, put out your comments here as well and showcase them.
So last week we talked about like one of the things we talked about was the whole halal meat thing in mm-hmm. the States and how it's a struggle for mostly those in the States. And so someone commented and said, as a UK, or I guess as a person living in the UK, yeah. I think they mean, I used to think the same way and judge the US Muslims because we figured it out. Why can't they? Mm-hmm. Then I had to change my mindset as well and realize, subhanAllah, I had to be thankful to Allah for having so many halal options and mosques as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just it maybe gives you reason to be grateful for what you do have.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, this goes into the question around like your iftar meals and your like practices.
Mm.
So this is Zahra, a regular commenter. She said, shorba is honestly good as a full meal to me, which is crazy.
Shorba, by the way, is like a barley-based soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much protein does that
have? If you pick out all the meat chunks.
Yeah.
The barley has fiber, so like that's not bad. And I personally have mine
protein.
With sambusa for the extra protein.
Oh yeah, I saw that. You do it weird though.
Oh, did you see me breaking it up?
You literally break up the whole thing.
Yes, it's and so put good. It in there. It's a game, guys.
And like mix it in.
It's so good. If you break up your sambusa with like the crispy one in the soup, 10 out of 10.
I ain't about that.
10. I don't care how many years old, but like that. So years still, old. You're missing out. Yeah. You're actually, isn't it so good?
It's Hanan? Like oatmeal. I'm not a big
no, oatmeal. No. It's not like oatmeal because the barley chunks are bigger.
Yeah, that's it's still it's always worse.
No, I can't. Yeah, just
it's
try
the texture,
it?
Man. Nah, I can't do the texture, okay? And then oh yeah, it's also said I grew up just having to having that and a bunch of sides. I never feel good if I have a proper real food meal, quote unquote, right after. Feels easier on my stomach to focus on a couple things and diversify what I eat in Suhoor instead. Coffee at Suhoor has what? Coffee at Suhoor. Oh yeah. You probably don't go back to sleep after. I love sleep. has been game changer for me. Used to wean off before the month, but now that I can flex my work hours, I'm better off staying awake and starting work earlier with actual energy instead of disoriented after a 1 hour nap. I know South Africa and some of the UK also started Sunday. Okay, so that also goes that last line is about how like some people started a day later. So I guess it was also South Africa and the UK. I didn't know that.
Me neither. Stacey Gibson 6863. She says, it's not all of us that in the US that feel that way. Canada is our ally. We love you, especially those of us that are part of the 92%. Please, please don't hold him against all of us. LOL.
What are the 92%?
I don't know.
Did I mention a percentage at some point that I'm forgetting right now?
Probably.
Yeah, but I know that there's still like a lot of Americans who really don't like this whole policy or this whole thing that Trump is trying with Canada. But yeah, we gotta stand up for ourselves, okay? And unfortunately, that might mean that, you know, some of y'all might get hit in the crossfire as well. But it's all love. Okay, so Sumami, Lisa, please tell me what I'm saying. I feel like I've read this name before and said it exactly with the same confusion. But she wrote, y'all should keep the verse of the week, but maybe bi-weekly. It was really nice. So they want us to keep it going. Maybe we'll do that. You know, every once in a while, just bring up a verse. We're not, just to preface, we're not a Muslim. We're not like a Islamic knowledge podcast. You know, I'm not the most qualified person, but it might be a good reminder to bring up these things. So we might think of keeping that around too. Mm-hmm. Also, just a small correction to the hadith Amir mentioned. At the end, the man promised Jannah, tells the man who was following him that the only thing he does is make sure to clear any feelings of hatred or envy towards anyone and forgives everyone, allowing him to sleep with a clean heart. Yes, I forgot that part of it. Okay, yeah. Your message still applies, but the complete hadith has another beautiful message.
Yeah. 100%.
So that's something to keep in mind from the story I mentioned of the man who was promised Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The last comment is from Amma101LA that says, you can't touch the Quran, but you can read, listen to the Quran via apps during menstruation. Who said you can't read? So I was actually just referring to the rule according to the Shafi'i school of thought. Mm-hmm. According to Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, you can recite even while on your period, but according to Imam Shafi'i, you cannot recite, but you can read without touching the Mushaf. So
yeah,
just wanted to clarify.
It's a different opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, oh my god, it just smelt my arm.
Ew.
Yeah, so we're gonna end the podcast there. Remember to subscribe to the channel if you liked anything that we talked about today. Hopefully some of my ramblings kind of made sense there, but you can also like the video. That also helps with the algorithm, and leave a comment if you have any thoughts about what we spoke about today. Other than that, follow us on our cousin connection pod on all our social platforms, Instagram and TikTok. And I keep saying other than that.
Yeah, you do keep saying that.
I say other than that a lot.
Yeah. Other than that.
Other than that. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.